Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible again, the book of Genesis, chapter number 26, and we're continuing our study on the subject dealing with contention. This is one of the more difficult messages to preach because it's such a long, drawn-out story that you have to listen day after day to get the full impact of the message. But we begin by looking at God blessing Isaac down in the land of Gerar. He became very wealthy. And I said, and I say it again, as long as you know nothing, do nothing, and have nothing, then there'll nobody be envious of you. But if you ever get to the place where you know something, you do something, and you have something, then there will be those who will have envy and strife rise up in their heart against you. That's what happened to Isaac down in the land of Gerar. He digged again the wells that his father had dug. And then after he did that, he started digging wells. And we saw in verse number 19 that his servants digged the well. And as soon as they got the well dug, then here comes the herdsmen of Gerar, and they say, the water is ours. And there's contention there. There's strife there. And Isaac just simply gives him the well. I said earlier, when I first saw that, I did not like that because I like a man that'll be a man and fight for that which is his. But then as I study the Word of God, I see that God is putting Isaac to a test. And so he does not fight. His philosophy is, you may take my well, but you're not going to get my water. Why should I fight over a well when I can dig another well by this time tomorrow? And so instead of fighting and contending with them over that well, he gives it to them. And he goes over a little piece and he starts digging another well the next day. They get that well dug, find water there, and here comes the herdsman of Gerar again, striving with him. And they say, the water is ours. And to my amazement, Isaac says, let him have it. And he gives it to them. Now, thus far, I'm not liking what I'm seeing in the life of Isaac, because as I said, I like to see a man that will stand up for what is his. But then as I study only in the Word of God, I realize there's something going on here that we do not see at first. And that is that God is putting Isaac to a test to see if he will contend and strive himself or if he'll let God fight his battles for him. So the Bible said in verse number 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that well they strove not. Now you see what happened. Well, I can tell you, God done a work in the life of the herdsmen of Gerar to stop their striving with Isaac. You see, if Isaac had tried to handle that, as we so often do, then God would have just backed up and let him handle it. And they would have still been strife and contend over those wells. I'm not talking about compromising doctrines at all. Please don't let that enter into your mind. But I'm simply saying that many things that people contend over and strive over today are not worth the fight. Why fight over a well when you can dig another tomorrow? So Isaac operates on the philosophy, you may get my well, but you won't get my water. I'll dig another well to get the water that I need. And so God sees Isaac passing the test. He's not going to strive. He's going to let God fight his battles. And he's just simply going to go on, regardless of what they're trying to do for him. He's got a job to do. He's going to work at it. Well, after he does not strive over the first well, then he does not strive over the second well. When they dig the third well, God turns the heart of his enemies and causes them not to strive with Isaac. I remember reading in the Bible where the Bible said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I am convinced that one of the greatest needs of this hour, when there's contention and strife against you because of envy, the best way to handle that is you just go on and serve God. Let God fight your battles. Let God handle your enemies. And so they dig that third well, and then Isaac names it Rehoboth. And that word simply means that there's room for both of us. He said in verse number 22, he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us. He did not say, boy, I've handled them. I sure showed them. No, God had fought the battle, and God had made room for them. Notice this, and we shall be fruitful in the land. He did not have to go anywhere else. And by the way, changing geographical locations will not help you in your battle. If you leave one battle because of contention, then you'll face another wherever you go. But you've got to overcome that battle God's way, and God then will turn the heart of your enemies, and God will make them to be at peace with you, and God will bless you in a greater way. So he digs this third well. They do not come to strive for it, and he names it Rehoboth, which means much room. And there is room enough for every saved person to be involved in the work of God without striving one against the other. But notice, not only he said God has made room for us, but he said we shall be fruitful in the land. God is making him fruitful in the land wherein he is a stranger. And so Isaac passes the test, and God turns the heart of his enemy from striving with him. Then notice in verse number 23 what happens after Isaac passes that test. The Bible said, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. You see, Isaac has passed the test that God had put before him. The test to see whether he would fight his battles or allow God to fight his battles for him. Whether he would be contentious or whether he would be a Christian, if I may say it in that manner. And Isaac passed the test. And now then in the very next verse, verse 23 and 24, he goes up to Beersheba and God appears unto him and renews the Abrahamic covenant with him. In verse number 25, Isaac builds an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Now remind you, he could have still been back over there guarding those first two wells, feuding and fighting over them, and never gone on with God. What good is a well if you've got to guard it with your soldiers 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? You know, many of our churches, and I hate to say this, but I'm afraid many of our churches and the work of God is so hindered because we've got so many people guarding so many of our wells that we dug, and we're contending over them instead of going after sinners, serving God, and letting God handle our enemies and our battles. But then I want you to notice what happens in verse number 26. After that he has built the altar, after that God has renewed the covenant with him, the Bible makes a little statement we'll see later on. The Bible said there, Isaac's servants dig the well. But now notice there's a wonderful change of event beginning at verse number 26. The Bible said, then Abimelech, this is a king of Gerar, went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And verse number 27, the Bible said, Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? Could I say that in the plain language of our day? Isaac is saying to them, what are you doing here? Why are you coming from Gerar up to me? I come out of there, you run me out. What are you doing here? And then notice in verse number 28, they're answering. Oh, what an answer it is. In verse number 28, they said, this is not the Christian talking about himself. It's not the Christian speaking about another Christian. This is the enemy of Isaac. Notice what he said, verse number 28. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Now, my friend, listen to me. That is the way to win your battles. Let your enemy be made aware of the fact that God is with you. You do not do that by your own verbal testimony. You do that by doing right and by living right in front of them. It is not my job to convert my enemies to my thought. It is my responsibility to serve God. And it's God's responsibility to handle my enemies and let them know that God is with me. So in verse number 28, the Bible said, they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Oh, blessed day in our life when our enemies become aware of the fact that God is with us. They may not like what we're doing. You remember they marveled at Peter and John. They saw they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And friend, I want to tell you, the way to handle your enemies is you serve God, keep your heart right, keep your spirit right, and you let God work in the life of your enemies and turn their hearts as it did here. So they said, we saw that the Lord was with thee, and they have come now to make a covenant with him. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. I'm talking about his enemies. Come to him. They said, we saw God is with you. We don't want to fight against you because God is with you. And notice verse number 29. The Bible said, here is the covenant they wanted, that thou will do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. I summarize this, and I'll have to deal with it tomorrow. They're lying. They're being untruthful in some of the things that they said. But they acknowledge that Isaac is the blessed of the Lord. What they're saying is, we're not blessed of God. The Lord is not with us, but he sure is with you. And you are the blessed of the Lord. We want a covenant with you that you will not do us harm. Friend, listen to me today. I want to tell you that again the Bible said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I am not at all saying compromise the doctrines of the Word of God, but I'm talking about these little petty divisions that we have among the brethren that is causing much harm to the cause of Christ and hindering much work that could be done in bringing sinners to the Savior. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study his word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.